More than 50 people are under arrest in connection with this overnight crime wave that hit Philadelphia. Officers tackling suspects ransacking businesses. Crowds of suspected thieves seen running from stores like Apple, Lululemon, and Foot Locker.
This is not shoplifting. This is looting. This is riot.
It's called organized retail theft. It's happening all over America, killing business and making shopping even more expensive. Target says crooks are forcing them to close 9 stores by October, saying theft is, quote, threatening the safety of our team and guests.
The high instances of retail theft in this country are due to the lack of prosecution, the demonization of the American law enforcement officer to the point that most police departments are shorthanded.
That last voice you heard there was Sergeant Betsy Smith with the National Police Association, and you had various audio from ABC, NBC, Instagram, and things like that of these really unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen any of the video out of Philadelphia. It's crazy, and it's not fundamentally different in kind from what we've seen in other places like Chicago, San Francisco, and elsewhere, but it is, you know, more of it to an even greater degree. Companies are abandoning these cities. They can't, you know, they had tried just locking everything up. Like if you wanted to buy toothpaste, you'd have to get an attendant to unlock the cabinet for you, you know, and even that's not working. And they're stealing, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars of stuff. What was the number that I saw? The increase in the value of items stolen last year, 2022, was $112 billion, up almost 20% over 2001. That is just an enormous increase as a result of this. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and good morning to Candy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you. So, obviously, we're not really seeing this, you know, locally, and even in Florida, I think the governor and the legislature have done a really good job of empowering law enforcement to thwart this. And the issues with morale in Florida aren't the same because we have police culture. But when you see this stuff, you know, what is your take? What is your thought as a law enforcement officer?
Well, you want to jump in and help the officers that are there. They're outnumbered a lot of times. And God bless them for the jobs that they're doing, working in the cities that have anti-law enforcement vibes in the area and prosecutors that aren't prosecuting these crimes yet. They're still there doing their job. So, you know, a lot of times people don't think about that part. They are still there. They're not all walking out. So, you know, when you see crimes like this, the criminals that are doing it, they don't look at the big picture. These stores are shutting down, and, you know, just they need to think, what if all the stores, brick and mortar stores, just shut down and everything's online? You're not going to do a lot of smashing and grabbing then. But, you know, burning stores down and looting them like that is just going to get them to close and run stores out of the neighborhoods that they live in.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, these people are not fools. I mean, you might think that they're crazy or evil and antisocial and, you know, sociopathic. All yes. OK, but they're not fools. The ones in Philadelphia, they staged this massive series of break-ins and thefts to look like it was an outgrowth of a protest that was being held, a peaceful protest that had to do with a judicial ruling on a police shooting. So there was a ruling that went the way that people didn't want it to go, and there was a protest for that. And these folks on social media arranged the smash and grabs to make it look like it was connected with that protest, and it really wasn't. I mean, this is some pretty sophisticated, like, information warfare, operational kind of stuff that they're conducting as well. Anyway, I wanted to hear your thoughts on it, and, you know, I certainly hope that none of this comes here to Pensacola. I also have great confidence that if it were to happen in our area, it would happen one time.
We're not gonna put up with things like that. You know, Andrew, on a small scale, we've had shopliftings before with two or three involved, and fortunately the track record for apprehension is pretty good, but like you said, I'm glad we haven't seen anything on a large scale in our city.
Most definitely. The other day, yesterday, we were talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves about the ShotSpotter location. How close are you guys to being able to roll this out, and where is it going to be in case people missed yesterday?
We're getting very close in the next couple of months. The area has been determined, and I try to get this right. It's about just south of Fairfield, all the way to the water, north to south, and then east, about the Tarragona to Pace Boulevard, I believe, is the area it's going to be in. So it's going to take up most of the west side of the city limits of Pensacola.
Okay. And that, so if I have this right in my head, that would include the sheriff's offices are within that footprint, right? Like just barely, but they are.
Well, they're I'm not sure what their area is going to cover. If you're talking about the building itself, it won't be going that far west. We'll shut it down around Pace Boulevard.
Okay. Well, again, I think that's right where that is. But okay, yeah. No, but and that's going to come online, and that's going to give you the ability to instantly respond to shots fired, and it gets dispatched immediately, right? Like you don't even have to go through a person to tell the police to respond, right?
Right. It's going to. The officers will be notified immediately in their vehicles through their mobile computer terminal.
Very good. And I know that's also going to come online. You know, the sheriff's office is working on the what does he call it? The coordinated incident response center or whatever. You know, the real time crime center. That's it. And you know, that's all a part of this planning as well, as to kind of bring more coherence, consistency, and unity between the forces in the response to these things. Right.
Yeah, you know, the real-time crime center is going to be a huge asset. Glad they're getting that going online. A lot of cities have that, and it's been successful everywhere, every department that's had that. So that's going to be a huge asset to us.
Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for Pensacola Police Department. Let's get Candy in here. Traffic on the fives.
A couple of accidents you certainly want to watch out for this morning. One is I-10 eastbound at mile marker 8, but that's between the Carr City and the Pine Forest exit, and it is backing things up quite a ways, so be careful there. At Marconoff on Highway 29, showing an accident right near the Tom Thumb. Caution there. East Bay Boulevard and River Run Road showing an accident. And Highway 98 is backed up in Navarre. Starting at Tom Street, the eastbound lane is blocked past 87 after an accident this morning. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I got a text in here that I have to read. It's so funny. Somebody says, you know what they never seem to be looting in these things? Work gloves and boots. Ties and shirts, you know, like right on. That's funny. Back to Mike Wood. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, it's been a somewhat quiet week for y'all. And, I don't believe I have the power to jinx that, so I don't mind saying it. But you've had a couple of missing persons cases, and you have made a, which have turned up fine and safe, and that's always good. But you did make an arrest in that shooting outside of Workman, right?
Yeah, the investigators worked hard on that from the moment that it happened. They were able to develop information on who it was. And once that individual got wind that we had a warrant out for his arrest, he did the right thing, which you don't see a lot of times, and he turned himself in.
Very good. Well, I always appreciate that. And the Baptist move. We talked about this with Wes Moreno last hour, but you guys were one of the, handful of key agencies. You guys, I think, were the ones escorting the ambulances over. Easy, done, no problem, right?
Yeah, no problems and done ahead of time. So it went a lot smoother than anticipated. And, you know, when you do things on a scale like that, you have to anticipate problems. And that's what was done, time-wise. And it wasn't needed. It was done a lot quicker than everyone thought. So, 100% on that. It went well.
Very good. Yeah, no, I mean, I just think kudos to everybody involved. It certainly seemed like that to me. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for us this week?
I do, and it's related to, like you said, we had two missing persons this week, and fortunately they were both found quickly. But the myth was, and I saw this in a comment on social media, that why do some people get posted immediately and others hours and maybe a day or two later, and they think that you have to wait 24 hours before you can report a person missing? And that's the myth. That's simply not true. If someone is missing, especially a small child, we need to be notified immediately. And just as soon as we can get recent photographs and the other information, we're going to put that out on our social media. The media is going to be notified via text with all this information as quickly as possible. So there is zero wait time, especially with a small child. If you look around the house and you can't find your child, don't wait 20 or 30 minutes. go on and get us headed that way, because I can tell you when a child is missing, everybody heads that way. The police department, the building, the people in the building, it empties out. Everybody's headed that way. So waiting 24 hours is a huge myth. It's been around a long time.
I am so glad you say that. We need to, you know, we do routinely and periodically remind people about that. But that is the one where, you know, I get angry when I see that myth perpetuated in TV and movies, because it's such an easy one not to have to, you know, they don't have to say it. I don't know why they keep saying it, but I fear that that has or may in the future cost somebody their life because people think they have to wait when you do not have to wait. That's a complete myth, complete invention of, you know, the entertainment media. And it really offends me that that is impeding the ability to help and do good that the police, law enforcement are always eager to do. Thank you for sharing that one with us again. Mike Wood is a public information officer with the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.